to the rich man's bright lodges. I ride in this wind on my good horse. I call you my shiny black Bess. To the playhouse of fortune, to take the bright silver and gold you have taken from somebody else.
And as this is Unwelcome Guests, and you're tuned to WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner Syracuse, 88.1 Ithaca Community Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Moscow, Free Radio Olympia, KQRP Salida, WGDR Plainfield, Free Radio Asheville, WZKW Kingsville, KOWA Olympia, WRFN Nashville, KRBS Oroville, The Surge 96.3, Radio Veronica US, WYQZ Warrenton Bealeton, or WMRW Warren. I'm Lynn Gary. I planned a different show this week, but then I heard a recording of New York Stories, First Responders Speak Out, from an event that took place last Sunday in Manhattan. I'm going to play it for you almost in its entirety, which will take the entire program. So John Taylor Gatto will return next week. Sorry for that discontinuity, but when you hear this, you'll understand. You'll be hearing the witness of dying men, and you won't be the same once you've heard it. We begin with Master of Ceremonies, Les Jamison, organizer, with New York 9/11 Truth.
How many people are ready to take the information you've heard so far and turn it into action? Great. Because, folks, now is the time for focus. Right? We have far more information and evidence than is even needed to call together a grand jury to raise an indictment for the attacks of 9/11. We have far more. Scott Peterson was convicted of murder with probably 1/50th of the information that we have. So, now is the time for concentration, for cohesion, for focus. That's what we're about. Tonight, folks, what we're presenting for you is an evening of New York stories. This is the epicenter. This is the vortex of the catastrophic attack which so horribly affected all of our lives and the conditions that we have faced now for the last 5 years globally. Remember, 9/11 was a global event. And one of the central areas of New York stories has to do with the effects that 9/11 had on a category of people known as first responders. Those are the people who showed up within minutes. They're the EMTs. They're the police and firemen, rescue workers. And many of them stayed for weeks and months. Many of them came from across the country. And we have three, we might have a few more here tonight, that are going to share with you their experience of what it was like to be there in that war zone and how they were treated afterwards. And though they were called heroes, they were treated like poor servants. Now, after 5 years of struggle and hardship that you cannot believe, I mean, if you can imagine, given of your time, your energy, your heart, your soul, your health, that affects your families as well, to be so mistreated that the city government, the state government, the federal government have created conditions in which these people, after they were becoming sick, were forced to verify that they were even there, forced to go through this long, long, protracted workers' compensation process, and were suffering. We're losing all their savings because of their high medical bills. We're suffering emotionally from terrible post-traumatic stress syndrome. And this remains to this day, folks. This is something that will not ever go away. And through their hard work, now I want everybody in the 9/11 Truth Movement to follow this example. Through their hard work and lobbying efforts and their willingness to go after our elected officials and hold them responsible, put their feet to the fire to end the statute of limitations so that if they get sick a third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, that they got coverage and things of this nature where legislation had to be passed in order for them to be treated as they deserve to be treated. Through their efforts, guess what, folks? In the last, I'd say, 2-3 weeks, the dam has broken, and they are now being recognized, and all the denial from the official New York City, New York State, and federal government, all the denial has now broken, and the official authorities have been forced to admit that their sickness and their suffering and their loss is absolutely due to the toxic aftermath of 9/11 and their presence at Ground Zero. You've been following the newspapers. I have two right here. The shame of 9/11. It's about time. City finally forced to act on health crisis facing forgotten Ground Zero rescue heroes. Here's another one. Twisty Whitman. Now ex-EPA chief tries to duck blame for 9/11 health fiasco. And her trial, folks, is coming up. And you know something? The first responders who were told by the EPA that air was safe to breathe want her tried for murder. Yeah. The White House, it goes all the way up to the Bush White House. You're going to learn about that tonight, folks, because this does go all the way to the top. And, folks, whenever I'm asked, which is very often, do you think the U.S. government would be so crass and so cruel to carry off an attack against its own people that resulted in the massacre of 3,000 people? I tell them this. Well, they told hundreds of thousands of people who live and work in Lower Manhattan, the air was safe to breathe. When to this day, it was not. To this day, there's contamination down there.
They knew.
Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you of the value of human life? No. The value was getting Wall Street back open and getting Americans to do what they think is their civil duty. Go shopping. They did not care. Folks, this is the same as the exposure to Agent Orange by Vietnam veterans. We're suffering to this day 40 years later. This is the same as exposure to depleted uranium as resulted in Gulf War syndrome. And probably one-third, I've read, as high as one-third of Gulf War I veterans suffer from to this day. And folks, but now the denial has been broken, and what this means is that if we keep up our efforts, if we fulfill our role and continue our pressure to get at the truth of 9/11, expose the lies, expose the true crimes, we also can break the dam of lies and denial. Yeah. An example right here. So, just briefly, I want to mention before bringing up the program, the news media is going on a frenzy covering the issues of 9/11. The first responders issues, like I just said, every day the last 2 weeks, it's all over the mainstream news. But also, they are out there covering the 9/11 truth movement with a vengeance. Earlier today, Dylan, Corey, and Jason were interviewed by Paula Zahn. They're going to be on Monday night. Earlier, during this break, I got interviewed by Geraldo at Large. It's going to be on Monday night. And this is just the beginning. I know these guys, thank you. Corey, many of you. I know Alex is deluged. Willie Rodriguez, deluged with requests. These people up here are deluged now with requests by the media all of a sudden to after years of silence to cover this. And
the fraud is collapsing.
So with that, folks, I look over here and I'm so gratified to be with these people, the first responders, a family member that you're going to be just so moved by and enriched by. And with that, folks, thank you all for being here. Right there. Yeah, with that, I'm going to bring up somebody who I call my boy wonder. This guy is nonstop truth and activism, and he is just an inspiration to all of us, as well as everybody in his age group, which is the college age group. And we need to grow that part of our movement, and the signs are that it will be happening. These guys are ready to put the colleges into motion, the college campuses. So please welcome Luke Rutkowski.
How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
All right. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Really appreciate it. I just wanted to bring up a couple of my friends up tonight. Kevin McPadden was a medic. My friend Craig Bartmer, NYPD. And my friend David Miller, who was a National Guardsman. Now, these guys are not only my friends, they're like brothers to me. And I'm not just saying that for the cameras. I sincerely mean that. You guys truly are everything. Now, these men risked their lives on 9/11, saving people that they didn't even know. They didn't know these people. It could have been any one of us in the Twin Towers, in the rubble, and these guys would have still got us out. Right? These first responders are unsung heroes, and they deserve respect. Many people ask me, why am I involved in this organization? Why do I do what I do? And my answer is, seeing my friend David Miller cough up blood when I'm talking to him is enough inspiration. This is why I'm active. This is what I do, because of people like David Miller. My friends were knowingly lied to on 9/11 about the air quality, and they deserve respect and justice. And hopefully tonight we'll get a little bit of that. Right? Many skeptics and many people who are against the 9/11 truth movement say that we offend the firefighters, offend the first responders, offend the police officers. These people are on our side. They know what's going on. Everybody, please give a huge round of applause for my good friend, David Miller.
My name's David Miller, and I'm a veteran of the 69th Infantry Battalion, 42nd Division, New York Army National Guard. I served from 1985 until 2001 in the 42nd Division, 10th Mountain Division, and the 102nd Medical Battalion. I was decorated, deployed in various capacities, earned several occupational specialty qualifications, and rose to the rank of an E5, a buck sergeant. There's nothing special, even really very interesting, about my service record. I went to St. John's University, a working-class college in Queens, and worked as a counselor while taking odd jobs in contracting throughout my hometown of the Bronx, which, unlike social work, paid well. I had dreams of helping to rebuild the South Bronx, where I'd grown up, to physically restore the neighborhood and with it the essential sense of community we'd lost in the 70s and 80s, to the drug wars, to neglect, to all the things that made that part of our community a blight. There was nothing special about any of that either. And like kids from my community, 1 week a month, 2 weeks in the summer, and occasionally some extra duty or training, I went off to the National Guard. That's how you got into college. That's how you could pay for school. That's how you got out of the ghetto. That's what the Guard was to me. On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero. No one asked us. No orders were given. We went because our city, our country, our neighbors were under attack. And we knew what to do, or at least we thought we did. I came home 10 days later. I won't tell you about the vivid images of Ground Zero. There's no need to. If you were there, you know. If you weren't there, there's no need to talk about it. I want to tell you tonight about the people we call heroes, about the people in front of you, about the people you've read about in the newspaper for the past week who were invisible for the past 5 years, about the people who we applauded and put up banners for and wrote songs about and put into music videos and put movies on about and forgot about, that they were abandoned in their hour of greatest need and are still in growing numbers living in terrible physical and economic circumstances as they struggle with the carcinogenic effects of the toxic chemical soup Ground Zero became, that they still have the dignity and courage and even now fight like hell to save innocent lives, even as so many of us are dying. How many people in here live in New York City? Okay. Take a look at everybody with their hands up. If this room was full of rescue workers, I'd like to show you all something, but I need your cooperation. Will you help me? Can this side of the room, everybody, stand up? Everybody on this side, if you're all rescue workers, will be dead in 4 years. Thank you. You'd all be dead in 4 years. That's our statistics. That's what's happening. In 7 years, it doubles. This is what Mount Sinai proved in a 17,000-page study that's on the internet. You can read about it. I would like to tell you tonight about September 13th, 2001, about marching down the West Side Highway after we had taken 3 hours of food and sleep and showers and checkups at the Chelsea Piers by some incredible volunteers, by thousands of them, who had set up a kind of a release station for those of us who were working on the pile. And we, on September 13th, we marched back in groups of twos and threes at first, and then dozens until there must have been more than 200 of us, carrying ropes, ladders, tools of every kind back into the smoke and the poison and the rubble where we reached an intersection with hundreds of civilians cheering us on. Our uniforms were torn and soiled. Our resolve was simple, to stay and dig as long as we had any hope to save anybody. I want to tell you about how sick so many of these brave men and women have become. How Dr. Thomas Frieden, the Commissioner of Health for New York, has done all he could for the past 5 years to further denigrate the sacrifice of our soldiers, firemen, police, EMTs, steel workers, all the first responders, by diminishing the clinical findings of his own coroner's office over and again, his own study, and the undeniable epidemiology of those who came to the city's rescue on that eternal day. I want to tell you about how the mayor refused to accept the fact that not dozens, not hundreds, but many thousands of us were contaminated, sickened, and poisoned by the most toxic combinations of building materials in the history of disaster relief. And that for 5 terrible years, he ignored that fact. That's not how you treat people the city considered heroes. Instead of all of these issues, I'll tell you about their use of language. They being the media, for what passes for journalism in this era. Did anyone besides me thank God, the baby Jesus, and Santa for the incredible luck that the media, all four networks in New York, the leading papers across the country and the internet, that all the media paid significant attention to the Mount Sinai study last week, rather than Paris Hilton's DWI or the latest Tom Cruise meltdown? That's, we finally got coverage worthy of this issue. It's only been 5 years. 5 years of our family members watching us drop dead. And every time Popular Mechanics calls the people of this movement nuts, these propagandists, professional liars and tools who cannot, even by any stretch of the imagination, be considered journalists, strike another nail into the coffin of another rescue worker. And every time Time magazine dismisses real, hard physical evidence that a new investigation needs to be launched into how concrete was pulverized. Every time Time magazine dismisses that evidence and instead writes a two-page article about the psychology of the conspiracy movement, they perpetuate this buildup of people in very, very coordinated efforts trying to take this movement apart. We who are still dying from 9/11, who went into the towers and into that pile, now live with those buildings in our lungs and digestive systems and our blood. And if you allow these scumbags to strip you and this movement of our legitimacy, you condemn first responders to death. So in closing, I'd like to put out a few points that I got, not reflective of the 9/11 movement or its board, if there is such a thing, just my own opinions from the Popular Mechanics book that I read over the past 2 days, which is a really good piece of fiction. They are sheep. Popular Mechanics says that we consider in the movement, people call people who aren't in the movement sheep. I would consider that valid. See, I know something about sheep. Sheep never conceive that the man who fills their grain bins will, without any afterthought one day, start cutting throats. We know what they did, they being the government. We know what they're capable of, and we know that they can do it again. Time magazine wants to separate us, marginalize us, in order to make discrediting the evidence we're presenting acceptable. And that's a threat to every one of us. We're now officially conspiracy nuts. Give yourself a round of applause. Time, U.S. News and World Report, Popular Mechanics have all said so. We're worse than Oliver Stone ever was with JFK. Worse than Spike Lee with that damn Katrina HBO special. Worse than that fat son of a bitch Michael Moore for suggesting Iraq is unjustifiable. And the Bush, Cheney, and Bin Laden families have all been incestuous with each other with wild disregard out in the open. Because sometimes that's the best place to hide. Loose change is more dangerous than anything they've ever encountered. In the words of a popular radio host, Michael Savage, who's really interesting to listen to since he's completely out of his mind, they're giving it away like the goddamn New Testament on a CD. How do you stop that? They can't hide the truth from forever from everyone, so discredit it. And to do that first, you have to attack the character of the movement, the public perception of our individual psychological statuses as a whole group. And this is what Time magazine tried to do. Yes, you see their numbers will shrink, or at least they'll become stagnant. After all, for God's sakes, these people think they're a movement. It's obvious what happens next. They're radicals. They're undermining the war on terrorism. The Bush administration is just the worst liars, the most dramatically overt in their manipulations and deceit. They really don't give a crap if we see right through their schemes. Johnson, Nixon, Reagan, Bush, even Clinton tried to hide dirty laundry with the first establishment of a genuine American dynasty. The dynasty that would have been established if maybe the Kennedys hadn't, for generation after generation, gotten blown away. See, now we're starting to, we're so delusional that we're comparing conspiracies. We understand the convolutions of empire in this room. How was the concrete pulverized? How was glass micronized into dust? And how was there molten steel? But a passport survived. What were those explosions reported by the FDNY? And why weren't the planes intercepted? And how did Hani Hanor learn to fly like that? I don't think we're crazy. Everyone in this administration had motive, intent, and opportunity. Conspiracies are only evidence the courts won't hear. We came to your rescue on 9/11. Now thousands of us and our families need you to come for 2 hours. For myself and far too many of us, research and the effective treatment's going to arrive far too late. I have double metastasizations in both lungs. That's just a reality. But remember the other side of this room that stood up. We're the canaries in the coal mine. Where did all that dust go? We were also killed on 9/11. Avenge us.
My name is Craig Barton. Some of you may not have heard of me. Some of you may know me from the internet phenomenon called MySpace. I go on there by the nickname Craig 9/11. I'm an ex-New York City police officer. I joined the NYPD in 1995, and I served until I left the job after 9/11 in February of 2002. Like so many others, I melted 5 pairs of work boots working at the pile at Ground Zero for over a month, until I collapsed one morning in October of 2001 on my way into work. I spent nearly a month in St. Vincent's Hospital, recovering from respiratory complications directly related to working in the air at Ground Zero. Recently, I was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis due to the collapse of part of my upper left frontal lung lobe and scar tissue in both of my lungs. I also suffer from severe post-traumatic stress disorder, and this debilitating condition has kept me from even leaving my home for long periods of time. I'm in therapy every 2 weeks for this, and I struggle with it daily. To this day, it keeps me from holding any form of gainful employment. I've tried with limited success to find a job since I left the police department, and those that I have found, I have lost, largely due in part to my PTSD and the difficulty I have in socializing with others based on my need to speak about 9/11. I speak all the time about issues, and my inability to hold my tongue gets me in trouble. That's what brings me up here before you tonight. I don't want to bore anybody else with my details. But I just wanted to outline some of my experience and let you know who I am and where I'm coming from. Another real reason that I'm up here speaking before you today as a member of the growing 9/11 truth movement is I'm concerned that we're not being told the truth by the government and media about the events of 9/11, period. That being said, I'd like to address some important issues that relate directly to what I believe relate directly to the 9/11 truth movement. I'm concerned that we're not being told the truth by the government, and I'm concerned that the truth that we're all trying to report is hurting us too sometimes. Nearly all of us in the truth movement love our country enough to demand answers about what we see as lies and cover-ups by our own government, so much so that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get our message heard. For me, that is a small part of the problem facing our movement. I'd like to address the word truth as it relates to the 9/11 truth movement. They say the truth can set us free, and sometimes it's said that the truth can keep us in the dark, too. I'd like to make it clear that although many truth movement members are indeed helping us, I also believe that some of the truth movement is actually hurting us. I believe that some of it is actually keeping us in the dark. Don't get me wrong. I'm part of this movement. I don't want to offend anybody here. As we draw closer to the fifth anniversary on Monday, 9/11/06, the media is once again generating all sorts of attention on 9/11 issues. As usual, they seem to focus on the government's official story, and they also lambast and brand any dissent and challenge that refutes the accepted story of the day. As you know, media and almost everybody I know brands any dissent of the official story as a conspiracy theory. Indeed, some members of the truth movement even revel in the fact that they're conspiracy theorists. I'm here to attack that term and to tell each and every one of you that you should not stand for being called a conspiracy theorist. You should not stand for being called that if you have checkable facts to back up what you're saying. I am not, nor have I ever been, a conspiracy theorist. Labeling yourself as such or being labeled by anyone else as a conspiracy theorist is doing our entire movement a great disservice. Calling alternate theories conspiracy theories is doing no one any good, and in the interest of real debate, it is something called an ad hominem attack. An ad hominem attack is a logical fallacy that automatically discredits the disseminator of the information at question based on a preconceived bias. I don't want to lose anyone here with a highbrow concept, so let me explain in other terms for people unfamiliar with the definition of ad hominem. Keep in mind, I'm stating this next bit here as an example, to make a point only. I don't want to be branded as an anti-Semite. I'm just trying to set an example for you here. You can say Einstein was Jewish. You can be a bigot and believe that all Jews are evil. Therefore, the conclusion you might draw based on the belief that Jews are evil is that the theory of relativity is also evil. You know that's complete nonsense, but I hope you can now see clearly what I'm talking about. That's the exact thing that's done when we allow ourselves to be labeled and debated as conspiracy theorists in regard to 9/11 issues. We cannot open a clear and honest discussion on the topic when we base the context of that discussion with the conspiracy theory label. Ad hominem attacks are everywhere, on the news, on the internet, in the papers. You hear it when Ann Coulter speaks about liberals or when Sean Hannity calls you crazy before he interviews you. It's the perfect method to create an automatic bias. It's a way to sway an argument to one side, making the other side seem either impotent or irrelevant before a word is even spoken. Before a word is even mentioned about our cause, the term conspiracy theory is abused, and the average reader or listener will say, "Here we go," even before a word is spoken or heard. That's wrong. 3,000 dead and thousands still suffering from that day deserve better. If we're going to do those people justice, the people who are still suffering today, people who are sick like myself, like Dave, like Kevin, like hundreds of others like us, we must fight this battle as well and see to it that we're taken seriously when we talk about what we're talking about. People also cite experts with far greater academic acumen than I have, who use information based on scientific method and applied physics and years of study in a given field that directly relates to the observed events of 9/11. In the interest of addressing the official story outlined in the 9/11 Commission report, we encounter another logical fallacy on the other side of the debate coin that's called an appeal to authority. This second logical fallacy supposes that because of true or reported credentials, that the expert making an argument and disseminating accepted information is automatically correct. I cite people's faith in the government's official explanations just because they support our president or our country as an example of this second type of logical fallacy. If we are to be taken seriously and we are to be respected in our search for the truth, we cannot allow ourselves to fall prey to either one of these logical fallacies. We have no need to do so either. We have a treasure trove of demonstrably false information and easily confirmed evidence that is ignored because of the conspiracy theory label. Members of this administration claimed on tape behind a government podium that no one in our government saw this coming. Yet the mayor of San Francisco was warned 8 hours before he flew on 9/11. Dick Cheney himself was running war games on that day. Have you ever seen a photo of that plane on the tabletop model of the Pentagon? You seen that picture? That was taken in the year 2000. We never thought about planes being used as weapons, though. Dick Cheney was in charge of NORAD on that day. That can be proven, but it's ignored. Where is the media outrage? Where's the media inquiry? Why? Why, for the first time in history, was a civilian member of our government in charge of NORAD? Okay, I'm back. These facts are proven, but can be ignored. Stock market records indeed show a large amount of money being pulled out of American Airlines stock and put options the day before the event. Why hasn't that been investigated more fully? Why are the hundreds of eyewitness accounts of explosions preceding and during the collapse of all three buildings on 9/11 ignored? I myself ran from Building 7 as it fell, and I heard with my own ears what sounded like a rapid succession of explosions while running. We can rebuild plane crashes completely with debris recovered by divers from the ocean, but we cannot even produce a single piece of steel from the World Trade Center, steel that hasn't already been melted down and fabricated into something else, to examine it because the stuff was shipped out of the public eye so quickly, and some of it's in China, for Christ's sakes. There's no mention of those facts in open debate in any major media source that I see. We have the bold-faced lies told by the EPA and the city of New York and the CDC that said the CDC said the air quality at Ground Zero was perfectly safe and no worse than secondhand smoke. Yet 20-something first responders have died in the last year due to respiratory illness directly related to that safe air. I'm sick because of that no more dangerous than secondhand smoke air. Where's the outrage and the highlight of that? You're starting to see it now. Where you can see one lie, there's usually others. Bombs in the building and demolition theories are fine and worth noting. But that truth can only be produced through honest and impartial investigation. I say that again. Honest and impartial investigation. Investigation that is devoid of bias. Those truths can come out in the wash after we have this independent investigation done. We already know that we went to war on a lie, and you're telling me this government is to be afforded credibility in any matter pertaining to 9/11? Hogwash. I'm aware that some theories labeled as conspiracy have gaping holes in them. I'm also much aware that the government's theories have holes in them as well. With those two facts, it's obvious a new investigation is needed. But that need is ignored and swept under the rug. That need is ignored when we in this movement separate ourselves into camps full of what we believe. Belief is not important here. Investigation and illumination of ignored information is what is important. Again, I will say I'm not crazy, nor am I a conspiracy theorist, nor are many of you here sitting here listening to me today, or many members of the truth movement across this country and globe. I am a trained ex-law enforcement person who does his homework and who wants a real investigation done, because of what we have now, the 9/11 omission report, is not real investigative work. It's loaded with bias written by people with definite conflicts of interest. For the record, in regards to the official 9/11 omission report, why haven't any of the recommendations been made for our security been implemented even 5 years after the fact? 3,000 dead deserve better. There absolutely is something up about the events of 9/11 that we are not being told, And that truth is inalienable and needs to be uncovered by a new and impartial investigation. Each month we are exposed to new theories. Some of them are indeed crazy and irrational, but not all of them are. Now is not the time to be claiming that there were no planes, because I saw plane parts with my own eyes that killed people. Yeah. I mean, I looked at there was an airplane engine on Church Street with a smear of an ex-human being under it. I mean, there were planes there. I agree. I lost my place here. I'm not a member of Actors Equity either. I'm a guy who's still suffering from the events of 9/11, who's fed up with this being turned into a circus, and who just wants justice. We see injustice everywhere we look in this fight, especially when looking at the administration that's currently in office, that I supported at one point. We spend $1.5 billion a month in a war overseas started on a lie, and we cannot fund our own citizens' health care. We can't even help first responders to the attack on 9/11, 70% of which are seriously ill, myself included. What does that tell you? I know what it tells me, that war and killing people overseas is worth investing in, and our own people, even ones once hailed as heroes, are not. In closing, I'm going to give you a quote from one of my heroes. We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. When the loyal opposition dies, I think the soul of America dies with it. Thanks.
Next, folks, we're going to hear from Major Mike McCormick, another military individual, one of our troops, one of our bravest. Did not have to be at Ground Zero that day. He volunteered, was not on duty, was not required to be there. That's the kind of bravery he exhibited, like so many others. And he's part of, you ready for this? Homeland Security. It says so right on his card. Homeland Security. Yet he knows what the actual scheme behind Homeland Security really is. And we're very proud to have him with us. This gentleman has an incredible story to tell. And in terms of the EPA lie, is at the very center of exposing it. Please welcome Major Mike McCormick.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being here tonight. As I look out in the audience, I do not see audience participants, but I see extended members of the 9/11 family. September 11th started off as a regular day for me. That was until a phone call came from the 106th Air Guard Rescue Unit telling me to turn on the television set. When I turned on the television set, I had asked what channel. I was told it didn't matter. To my astonishment, I had seen the North Tower in flames. Immediately, without thinking, I went straight to the base, and by that time, the second tower was subsequently hit. 3 hours after the towers were subsequently destroyed, I responded down to Ground Zero. As I ran up Varick Street, I had actually slipped. If anybody's familiar with Charlie Brown and the football, that was me. You couldn't tell sidewalk from street because the dust was that high, along with other debris. Now, one thing you have to remember, the Trade Center was built with 425,000 yards of concrete, of which 40 floors of both buildings had been pulverized. That means close to, I would say, just under a million ton. Excuse me. Just under a million tons of concrete dust was vaporized and made airborne. With this, there are hundreds and thousands of people now sick. Sick from many things, because when concrete is made, you have silica, lime, and there's admixtures to strengthen the concrete. There's hardeners, there's plasticizers, and they're all hazardous materials. Every single one is placketed under the material data safety sheet from the federal government, and that has never been publicly announced. As an advocate for 9/11, I've gone to hundreds of responders, and basically everybody has the same story. Pulmonary fibrosis, ground zero cough. Ground zero cough is actually an anti-inflammatory response to foreign bodies embedded in the lungs. Once you have it, it's basically a death sentence. We are all subject to an early death. This is because George Bush, in his infinite wisdom, decided to make the report secret. Secret because he did not want Al-Qaeda or the boogeyman, whatever you might want to call them, they could even be CIA assets. What has happened here is now, because of this lie, this city has been changed forever. Unfortunately, because of this lie, hundreds of people will die, terrible deaths, and the worst thing is, this country is known for its generosity. Every time you look at the paper, hundreds of millions of dollars is going here, there, and everywhere. Yet not one federal dollar has ever been spent to aid 9/11 responders, sick people that just lived in the area, and that's a goddamn shame. You know something? It all comes down to the almighty buck. You know, it's made of paper. It's good for goods and services anywhere around the world. The good people here, God-fearing people, ones that go to church and believe in the Lord, no matter what your religious denomination is, on the back of a dollar bill, we even print, "In God we trust." The majority of us believe in a higher authority and the goodness of man. Unfortunately, the people that are in office are scoundrels, and they look at God not as the Almighty, but they look at God as gold, oil, and drugs. As of April 2006, what's not known to the general public is that your grandchildren's grandchildren will be paying off a loan to Red China. The war on terror is being financed by China, and it's over $257 trillion. That's a lot of dollars. And these people will not raise a finger to help. There is actually $1 billion in a fund for 9/11 responders. Instead of taking care of sick responders, what they have done so far with Mayor Bloomberg at the helm is Mayor Bloomberg has spent $40 million of that $1 billion on denying claims. This is a real American for you. Now, not being anti-Semitic, but everybody under that toxic cloud was gassed. Mayor Bloomberg, being Jewish, he should have a little more empathy. A month ago, I had gotten a report that was deemed secret. It was the report from the Executive Office Legal Department to Christy Todd Whitman, advising her to downplay the severity of Ground Zero. It was deemed secret because George Bush did not want anybody to know the severity of Ground Zero. Now, that's pure unequivocal bullshit. Bottom line is, any TV that you can put on with any channel showed the target totally destroyed. There was nothing to hide. The only thing that was hidden was what was going on. Now, Christy Todd Whitman, I'm happy to say, is going to have her day of reckoning.
It's called criminally negligent homicide.
What this administration has done took Dr. Mengele years to do. This administration happened to do it in one day. They all deserve to be put on the carpet. It is time for good Americans to take back this country. Unfortunately, under the guise of Homeland Security, federal agents, Central Intelligence individuals, NSA, you name the acronym, I would say a good 80% of all agencies involved are Manchurian candidates. These are the people sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and the only thing that Homeland Security does is decimate the United States Constitution. You know, Homeland Security, when I hear that word, I kind of laugh to myself just for the fact that Homeland Security Department, the only thing that they don't take care of is the country's patriots. You know, back in 1776, when Paul Revere did his ride, whatever the case may be, everybody that rallied to the cause from the British, they were the Minutemen. These were the citizen soldiers that forged this nation. Every single responder, police, fire, EMS, every volunteer, they are the Minutemen. These are people that deserve pensions when they can't work anymore. They deserve all the medical care that's necessary. I have seen many responders die, and there was nothing I can do to save them. This is New York. This is the seat of the most sophisticated medical hub of advanced care in the world. The only thing that these responders didn't have was a country that gave a shit. Now, myself, it's sad to say, but I'm no longer on George Bush's Christmas card list. You see, on September 14th, I had dug up and unearthed the actual Ground Zero flag, which went all over the country, the torn flag. And I was made the 9/11 poster boy for the administration. I received commendations from the White House, from Governor Pataki. Myself and my team was taken to the Capitol, where we were recognized and honored by all the lackeys on Capitol Hill. And for the first time in my life, the one thing I learned about being on Capitol Hill is you have a handful of good New Yorkers. You have Congressman Israel. You have Congressman Nadler. Take the front runner, Congresswoman Maloney, Congressman Bishop. These are the people that are going balls to the wall, along with Senator Clinton. These are the people that are going balls to the wall to make things right. Unfortunately, the Capitol and the United States Congress is run like a hula house with an OTB. What they do is they bicker and barter about what the administration can do. They basically have their hands tied because they will get threatened with not getting resources or companies that have government contracts. If you don't go along with the administration's game, you're out. Now, you can be the biggest schmuck in Congress, but at the end of one term, you retire with full salary for life. So you don't really lose your lifestyle. Responders, and what I see here is, if you don't take care of the responders here today, what's going to happen the next time? What happens if you dial 911 and nobody shows up? Because that's what's going to happen, folks. What I would like to see is a brighter day for all Americans. And the one thing, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you a quote that was made by Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to stand by idly and do nothing. Your participation here today shows me that they will not get away with it. I'm proud to say, I just noticed we have Alex Jones here. You know, prior to 911, I ran incident commands at the last four major air crashes in New York. That kind of made me an expert, and that's why the guard called me. Now, I had been out on workman's comp, and because I went down to ground zero, because I have a lot of friends that were missing, the government played on the responders. The government knew that the responders had a code of ethics where no man gets left behind. Everybody went into hell, and they paid for it exponentially. United States government had hired me to work out on Plum Island. I did emergency services and mop-up with the most dangerous pathogens on the planet that do not have cures. I know what I'm doing. I'm a distance learning facilitator for the Department of Defense. What I have seen down at Ground Zero is unconscionable. The government immediately could have sent physicians from USAMRID to help the doctors at Mount Sinai because these guys were flying blind. Alex Jones here, he's filmed many drills in his area where he lives. This is done constantly, but this is done to suppress the American public. This is not done to help them. I have a close friend that lives next door. He builds the secret jails, and I've seen one myself in Brooklyn. This is to decimate the Constitution, take away your right to bear arms, suppress the media, and allow nothing to come out that shows any negativity on the government, and that has to change.